Agenda Paper 13 discusses a request for. Sorry. Discusses a request for guidance on the recognition of an asset in a situation in which the tax position of an entity is uncertain. The issue is whether ICE 12 and a probable threshold is applied to recognize an asset where an entity has paid cash to the tax authority but expect to recover that cash, or whether the guidance in ICE 37 and a virtually certain threshold should be applied. We think that when an entity is required to pay cash to the tax authority but expect to recover that cash, the main issue is not the recognition threshold for the asset, but the measurement of the liability. In our view, the potential tax effect is only a residual amount that is equal to the cash paid minus the tax liability, and so it cannot be measured without taking into account the tax liability. We think that the cash paid is an asset and is a certain amount, and that the tax liability is the uncertain amount. And so, to address this issue comprehensively, we should also provide guidance on the measurement of the liability. On the basis of our outreach with national standard setters and regulators, we understand that the issue is common and that there is divergence in practice. However, we recommend that the committee should not take this issue to its agenda because, in our view, ICE 12 provides sufficient guidance on the recognition of current tax assets and liabilities, and developing guidance on the measurement of uncertain tax position would be a project too broad to be addressed in an efficient manner. We ask the committee members if they agree with our conclusions and if recommendations, and if they have any comments on our proposed tentative agenda rescission in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Comments, reactions? Andrew?
I think Joanna was first, but I'm happy to go. Well, I agree with the decision not to add this to the agenda. Regarding the paper and the proposed wording for the agenda decision, it seems to be in danger of becoming accepted wisdom that IAS 12 is somehow deficient because there isn't specific guidance on uncertain tax positions. It might or might not be deficient, but I suspect some people compare it to FIN 48 or Topic 740 and say we haven't got one of those in IAS 12, so there's a piece missing.
Well, we get beat up with that on a regular basis.
I'm sure. I personally don't really see it that way. I think IAS 12 is, well, first of all, it's clearly the applicable standard, in my view, and it says that we measure current tax assets and liabilities based on the expected amount. Now, we could always clarify exactly what expected means, but that's a term that's used in many parts of IFRS, and you know, generally speaking, we can figure it out. And I guess others might correct me if I'm wrong, but US GAAP essentially regards the uncertain tax position as a separate unit of account to the rest of the tax accounting. I don't think IAS 12 does that. There's always going to be some degree of uncertainty as to your ultimate tax liability until that year is closed out for tax purposes. I don't think that's saying we need something, we need to kind of pull out the uncertain piece and account for that differently or have some specific guidance for it is necessarily the right thing to do.
I think that wasn't quite the way I would have read US GAAP, so I'm going to ask Scott to come in here and then get back to Joanna.
Okay, so I was going to say I agree with the staff position and the analysis. I think that's right. I think the big deal that is missing from IAS 12 compared to US GAAP is detection risk. Right? What FIN 48 added was, yes, it clarified the threshold, more likely than not versus probable, which in US GAAP is the same as highly probable in IFRS, so it clarified that. But the big deal for FIN 48 was that it said in assessing probability, you have to assume that the tax authorities will discover the facts. Yeah. That is the big deal that isn't in IAS 12 and that we ought not be trying to figure out, I don't think. I think that is a board level
oh, absolutely.
Decision. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's the that's really the big difference. It's the detection risk issue, where, you know, U.S. GAAP says the tax liability, what you owe, is a matter of law. And the law does not say if the tax authorities figure it out, you owe. The law says here's what you owe. And so you don't get to discover, you don't get to consider detection risk. Before FIN 48, I think detection risk was routinely considered in measuring the liabilities. I think that's the big deal.
I would have also, I'm sorry, Joanna, bogarting your time here, but I would have also said that the probability, at least the way the probability is expressed in U.S. GAAP, is different than we use the term expected.
Yes.
It's this highest amount less most whatever.
That was more of a measurement.
Yeah.
That was the measurement. There's a recognition piece and a measurement piece that work together.
But when we talked about it in the exposure draft, we said expected cash flows as the probability adjusted
yes.
mean, which is not the number that you'd get in
That's
U.S.
Right.
GAAP. So, okay, Joanna?
I agree with the staff conclusion, but I share Andrew's view and the, notwithstanding the discussion that you've just had, that I am a bit worried about talking about this, the measurement bit, and that it's wider and we need, you know, it's not in there, and therefore making that observation in here. To me, it is clear, IAS 12 is clear, to what we have to do. And so the wording here I would change. First of all, I actually think that the introduction as to what the fact pattern is does not clearly state that actually it is a dispute. You know, it starts off with we've paid some money and we expect to get it back, whereas in fact what we're we've been forced to pay some money because there is a dispute. So I actually think we need to make sure we do. It's in the second paragraph, but I think it falls too late. So just to look at the wording of that first bit. And in fact, then the first bullet under the Interpretations Committee observed that I would actually expand that a little bit more, because that's the crux of it, and actually remove the next three bullets, which are all about the measurement aspect, because I think... And in fact, I think the discussion in fact that Wayne and Scott have actually just had, it actually does say, well, it is there in IAS 12. It's just, it's a different way.
I don't think so.
Well,
now,
okay.
Let me
think so, but if it isn't, if we don't get there and you do want to leave those three bullet points in, then what are we going to do about it? Because all we've just said is it's just too wide. I mean, I've written an and there. So
let me ask you a question, Joanna. If I agree that the submission said we had to pay the money in advance of the adjudication, which actually takes detection risk out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, at that point
yes.
you're no longer concerned.
Yes, no,
but,
because it's caught.
But
yeah.
Would this be substantively different than a situation in which I just have to make estimate payments?
No.
So the fact that I had to pay, excuse the expression, protection money, or put up a ransom against the resolution, doesn't really change the underlying issue.
I actually think it does, because
okay.
if I'm paying ransom money or whatever, it is because they have detected, therefore they are going to investigate, and therefore there is a risk that they will say that money is due. Therefore, I need to make an assessment as to the probability, the likelihood of is that money due and how much of it. And
so,
therefore, and I would do that under IAS 12. You're saying you would do that under US, whatever.
No, I think the reason I was following the line of questioning is if you take the facts as given, then I think we would probably, or at least I would agree, that IAS 12 tells me what to do. But if I took it one step removed, because the facts as given eliminate detection risk. If I take it one step removed and just say, these are just estimated tax payments, I don't know that 12 would necessarily get me to the same answer, and that was the point I was trying to pursue with you.
But I think it would, because you would be looking at your liability. So whether you actually, whether it is in fact the asset or the liability side that you are looking at, i.e., they've detected it.
But what Wayne is saying is, if they're just estimating payments,
detection risk is true.
Yes, yeah. But then, so yes, I probably have that as an asset, if you like.
Yeah.
And then, but I would do the assessment on my liability to say, but there is a, including looking at the detection risk.
Well, but I think that's the open issue.
Yeah.
Is that if it hasn't yet been detected, yeah.
Well, that's
do you include detection risk or not?
Well,
US GAAP says it doesn't matter whether it's been detected or not.
Yeah. And I believe IS-12 says the same thing, quite frankly, because expected means including detective risk.
Well, does that mean assume that it is detected?
No, it says...
That's the difference with US GAAP.
You must assume that it is detected. Yes. Whereas the assessment that I would make is, what is the probability of them detecting it?
Right. So that's the difference.
The assessment.
I think that's what Wayne and I are saying is the difference.
And when we did that exposure draft, my recollection of the responses that we got was people said, 12 doesn't even tell me that.
Well,
and so there was, I understand your view, but it was not borne out in many of the responses we got.
But having said that, I'm not sure how you can actually say expected doesn't include that assessment of detective risk. I agree, it means that US GAAP and IS-12 are different.
My point being, I understand your point of view. All I'm saying is
others.
The word expected in 12 predates our more sophisticated understanding of it today, and I think a lot of people did not derive that opinion. That was all. But let's not, we're going around in circles here, so I'm just going to start with Reinhardt and go around.
I agree with the staff analysis and with the wording of the agenda decision. Just one comment that hasn't been raised that I thought I would make, and it's more an editorial comment relative to the agenda decision, where it says in the third paragraph, the Interpretations Committee noted that paragraphs 12 and 14 provide guidance on current tax assets. With respect to paragraph 14, I think we're looking to some of the principles in paragraph 14, but not the explicit words in 14, because paragraph 14, I believe, talks about circumstances where you use a tax loss to recover the current tax of a previous period, which is not the fact here. So that was the one comment I was going to make.
Okay. Again, just working around. Andrew, you're next.
I'm going to add that paragraph 46 says expected using the tax rate and the tax laws. So we certainly take that to mean that you assume the tax law is going to be applied.
Martin?
Hence the late.
Yes, I agree with the staff view. On the other end, I mean, that's the question I have. Would the outcome be different if we talk about other taxes? And I believe not. I mean, if we have to pay a certain amount, not for income tax, but for, don't know what, consumption value of the tax or what else, I believe we still consider whether we have an asset, and we are not considering whether we have a contingent asset. And if we, I mean, if we, detecting some vibrations, I believe that this should be or might be also a beneficial hint in the note that irrespective of whether we are talking about income taxes or any other taxes, the outcome would be the same.
Yeah, good point. I think those help very helpful. Tony, you're about to disagree with me on something.
No, I wasn't, actually. I was going to say I concur with the staff's conclusion. I think they've the analysis works. I think IAS 12 is the standard that applies. We don't need to go looking in IAS 37. I would probably share Joanna's thoughts that the question didn't ask about measurement, so there's no need to go answering about measurement. I would cut it off as saying that we're recognizing under IAS 12, that's the threshold in IAS 12. IAS 12 tells you to measure it at the amount you expect to pay, and I would cut it off there rather than saying or implying that IAS 12 is in some way deficient. Because if it is deficient, it's deficient in the treatment of detection risk, and that's not the question we've been asked.
Okay, that's fair. I'm seeing a lot of head nods around the table in agreement to that, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Oh, phones. Phones. Luca.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. No specific comments. I agree with the view expressed by the staff. I think that's the approach taken by the staff is in line and correct. So the issue has to be resolved inside EIS 12, and my view is that the interpretation, the element relating to uncertain tax position is something more complex and not completely covered by EIS 12, but the answer to this point is appropriate.
Okay. Sandy?
I agree with the staff view. I don't have anything to add other than what's been discussed.
Shelley?
Same here.
Okay. We will go ahead on that basis then. We're going to ask April. April is here.
April is here.
Okay. After April's through, we'll decide what we do with the balance of the agenda. So.
All right.
Okay. Oh, please, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Agenda paper 7. This paper provides an update on the